The hedge fund industry, with about $1 trillion in assets, is one of the fastest-growing corners of the investment world. It's also one of the most secretive. Hedge fund managers don't often talk to the press, so when former Morgan Stanley executive Barton Biggs decided to write a book about his experiences running a hedge fund, it raised some eyebrows on Wall Street. The book portrays a world where huge fortunes can be won and lost quickly, and the competition can exact a stiff toll on those involved. NPR's Jim Zaroli reports.
Park Avenue in Midtown Manhattan is an imposing boulevard of steel and glass office towers stretching north for blocks. In recent years, this neighborhood has become a favored destination for hedge funds. So many funds have set up shop here that it's known as Hedge Fund Row. Dev Clifford of the consulting firm Greenwich Associates says many of the funds are run by refugees from big investment firms.
It's almost a cliche now in the investing in the Wall Street community about someone leaving their traditional firm to go start a hedge fund. The rewards can be phenomenal. And despite the fact that many of these folks are well compensated by any measure in their current firms, the lure to go out, have your own show, so to speak, to capture the profits that you think you generate, the value you think you generate for your clients is too much for many of them to resist.
Among those who joined the hedge fund exodus, Barton Biggs stood out. Biggs was head of investments at Morgan Stanley, someone well entrenched in the Wall Street establishment. He was nearly 70 when he left the firm in 2003 to start Traxys Partners.
All right, I look forward to seeing you.
In his office overlooking St. Patrick's Cathedral, Biggs explains that he left Morgan Stanley partly because he was tired of his job responsibilities.
Increasingly, after 30 years in Morgan Stanley, I was getting more and more involved in bureaucracy and being a manager of managers, because I was chairman of the investment management company. I was chairman of the mutual funds. I was spending more time going to meetings and less time being an investor.
But Biggs was also intrigued by the idea of returning to the hedge fund world, where he worked early in his career. Hedge funds are investment vehicles that cater to rich people and big institutional investors. They use a variety of strategies to maximize return and minimize risk, strategies like shorting, which is a way of betting that an investment will lose value. Hedge funds are lightly regulated, although that's changing somewhat, and their relative independence gives hardcore investors like Biggs an opportunity to really test their insights. Madhav Dar, Biggs's partner at Traxys, says Biggs liked the intellectual challenge of running a hedge fund.
Barton has been a student and obsessive participant in markets all his life, practically. He lives and breathes this stuff, and he always has, and ever since I've known him, he just really knows one speed, which is on.
Traxys did well in its first year, and for a while it was the hot new hedge fund. But in its second year, it shorted oil, a disastrous move. And Biggs says the press was quick to write about the fund's troubles.
We write a monthly letter to our partners describing what our portfolio looks like, and it gets sent around and emailed around. And so the whole damn world knew that we were short oil and losing money in oil. We had some major redemptions because of the publicity associated with our oil position.
The fund ultimately recovered. Biggs won't say how the fund is doing now, though it reportedly made a very respectable 15% last year. In the meantime, Biggs has been doing something few fund managers have ever done. The former creative writing major at Yale has been keeping a journal, which he's turned into a book titled Hedgehogging. The book chronicles some of the indignities of hedge fund life, like having to make sales pitches to bored multimillionaires at investor conferences. The most memorable passages involve some of the people Biggs knows.
Because I think that's the fascinating thing about the business is the people, the very brilliant but often eccentric and obsessive people that are in this business.
Take, for instance, the affable man Biggs calls Grinning Gilbert, who quits his job as a portfolio manager to run a hedge fund. The fund prospers, and Gilbert and his wife spend money with abandon. They buy a mansion in Connecticut, lease a share of a private jet, and hire a Scottish nanny for their kids. Then Grinning Gilbert's technology shares begin to fall. The losses mount. One day, Grinning Gilbert comes home, gets in bed, and won't get up. Here Biggs reads from his book.
After lunch, he went up to his bedroom, drew the curtains, and went to bed. He put in wax earplugs, pulled the covers up over his head, and stayed there. when Sharon, his wife, came into that dark room at about 4, he told her he was very tired and was not getting up for dinner. His secretary called, and a little later one of his analysts needed to talk with him. He wouldn't take either call. Grinning Gilbert just stayed in bed. In fact, he stayed in bed with the curtains drawn, living on toast and soup for the rest of the week and right through the weekend.
The next week, Biggs writes, Grinning Gilbert's wife liquidated the fund's holdings at a big loss and fired his employees. Biggs also writes about an intensely competitive fund manager named Richard. Richard is as slick as they come, says Biggs. He has a smooth, cultured Harvard veneer, wears fancy suits, and talks with a hint of a Boston accent. Biggs tells how Richard persuades some unsuspecting colleagues to buy a stock he knows is a dog, then unloads his own shares right before the stock crashes. Just because you're a snake, Biggs writes, doesn't mean you're not a moneymaker. Biggs says he tells these stories for a reason.
I'm trying to, first of all, disabuse the public that hedge funds are an automatic road to riches for the investors. And I'm also trying to tell professional investors that it's very risky to start a hedge fund.
Biggs says hedge funds charge high fees, and if they don't do well right away, investors quickly pull their money out, and money funds fail as a result. Biggs says there were 8,000 active hedge funds in 2004, and about 1,000 shut down. It is, he says, a grossly overpopulated loser's game, with too many funds chasing too few profits. Biggs says he doesn't at all regret his decision to start a fund.
And when you're doing well, not only are you getting paid extremely well, but you really feel like you're walking on top of the world. And when you're doing well, you feel like you're going to be able to keep doing well forever.
But there are also long slumps and spectacular flameouts. For that reason, Biggs says he generally supports recent efforts by the Securities and Exchange Commission to begin regulating hedge funds. Biggs notes that many mutual funds and pension plans invest in hedge funds these days. The public needs to be protected from the bad investment decisions these funds may make, he says. One way to ensure that happens, he adds, is to do what he's done in his book, shine a little more light on the way hedge funds operate. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, New York.
And you can read an excerpt from Barton Biggs' book, Hedgehogging, at npr.org.